You're listening to Adventures in Autism. Each episode, we will bring you the latest in news regarding autism, as well as our personal story and the topic of the week. We are not medical professionals, and none of the information that we give should be taken as such. Instead, we are parents of a severely autistic child. We are here to share our lives and our personal experiences with you. If you would like to know more about our personal story or access any of our other podcasts, you may do so through openeyesnetwork.com. If you would like to share your personal story with us, you may send an email to feedback@openeyesnetwork.com or access our Facebook fan page at Open Eyes Network, as well as our Twitter feed at Open Eyes Network. Thanks for listening. Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Adventures in Autism. My name is Ira Robinson.
And I am Jolene Robinson.
And we hope that you guys have been looking forward to this episode as much as we have been looking forward to bringing it to you. Tonight, we're going to talk about siblings and all of the adventures that come with the idea of siblings when you have a child that has autism. So let's get a little bit into our own experiences as far as siblings are concerned. Jolene, why don't you start us off?
Okay, so first off, when it came to Seth having a sibling, Seth was already in the beginning stages of autism. He, pretty much around the same time, he was beginning the downward spiral that was autism. His biological mother, because I'm not the biological, I'm the stepmom, their biological mom was already pregnant with Crystal. So it wasn't really a choice matter. It was kind of a, okay, well, I guess it's going to happen. You know, it wasn't a decision made after he was autistic. It was kind of a, they both happened at the same time.
Yeah, basically when she was born was when the first stages of autism began. So it was really bad timing, to say the least.
Yeah, by the time she was born, Seth was already had already lost everything.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was like we had essentially two infants on our hands at the exact same time, but one of them was much, much bigger. So
much bigger.
So that was kind of our start when it came to dealing with the idea of siblings with having an autistic child. It was very hard. I mean, everybody knows that a diagnosis of autism is already a devastating thing to a family, but it's really made a lot worse by the introduction of siblings. Now, if the siblings are older, it can be easier because they have a better understanding of things, hopefully, and can actually learn to assist with the day-to-day things that come up when you have another child that has autism. But if the child with autism is the older one, it brings in a whole new set of problems with it. And one of those issues actually is whether or not to actually have another child or not. And that's a tough decision. It's one that I really hope nobody has to face, honestly. But it is definitely a decision that has to come, you know, that you have to deal with. If you already have a child that has autism, the decision of whether or not to bring another child in, you not only have the idea of, okay, well, this is going to be difficult enough to begin with, but now toss on top of that the idea that, well, what if this one has problems as well?
Yeah, what's the likelihood that this child is also going to have autism or maybe other disabilities as well?
It's a scary thought. It really is a scary proposition. If we had had the chance to make the decision as opposed to it kind of being made for us. Because, you know, we'll be honest with you, Crystal was rather an oops baby, you know. But looking back on things, would I change things? No, because I never regret anything that ends up happening. But the if given the choice at that moment in time, I cannot honestly say whether or not I would say yes to having another child brought in. It definitely added a whole new element of things into the mix, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, to decide whether you're going to have another one or not, you have so many different things to think about, especially, you know, if the one that has autism is going to be the older one. And especially, like, in our case, Seth is... in the home, he is her only older sibling, although she does have her older sister, but she doesn't live with us, so...
Right, she's in her 20s and off on her own, doing her own thing at this point, so...
Yeah, so for Crystal to grow up and have the only sibling in the household be one that has a disability, it kind of... what do I want to say? Kind of morphs the child's perspective on how other kids are.
Yeah, it definitely changes their mindset when they have, especially somebody who is like Seth, where he goes from moment to moment not knowing what emotion he's going to have. And sometimes those outbursts can be really, really bad. That's difficult on a child.
And not only that, but if that's like your only real input of like, another kid kind of thing, then when you get into school, the way that quote-unquote regular kids act will seem outlandish and kind of out there. Because, I mean, up until school time, because, you know, the kids did go to regular school, if you didn't catch in our intro episode about all that, they did go to regular school, and, you know, when she first got there, you know, the other kids, they would fight in, you know, the little simple ways. And she would come home crying because she couldn't really understand that that's how people acted to each other, because her and her brother didn't act that way. So since her and her brother didn't act that way, and yet these two, you know, would fight one day. Oh, you have the same shirt as me. You're not my friend. You know, silly little kindergarten, first grade stuff. You know, you're not my friend anymore. You have the same hairstyle as I do, the same hairdo. You know, she would come home crying because they would say these silly little things. And it's like, don't believe it. And she would be devastated because she thought that was sincere.
Yeah.
Because she couldn't understand that that's how normal kid fighting goes, because that's not what her and her brother would do. Her brother's fighting would be more not like that. You know, they don't fight over, you know, that's my same shirt, you know. No, it's different.
There's a whole different mechanic.
Yeah, that's a total different, you know, it's more of a get out of my room and the normal brother in that aspect, but other more autistic related, you know, stop making that noise, it's annoying. Oh, he's trying to get out of the blanket, Crystal, get away from him. And
right. Yeah. It was difficult for a long time, actually up until she was about what, 6 or so years old, for her to really understand that what he was going through was not something that everybody goes through. And she did not understand it at all. We could not get her to understand that the way that he was acting was not anything against her, or was not anything like normal, you know, I guess. Yeah. You could say
we prepped her from a young age about the autism. You know, we prepped her from a young age telling her, you know, your brother doesn't act the way normal boys would. He has something wrong with his brain. It's called autism, you know. I mean, we tried to prep her when she was younger, especially before school, so that by the time she started school, she could really see, whoa, there's a difference between the boys at school and the way my brother acts, you know?
Right. And we, even though we had done our best to try to educate her as far as everything was concerned, until she started seeing a lot of the other differences in other kids, she just didn't really grasp onto the concept very well. So that's one warning that we would give, that it may be difficult for your younger sibling that's involved to come to terms with everything for quite some time. They will probably, and unfortunately we don't have Crystal with us right now to be able to talk about this herself.
Yeah, we originally planned to, but things happened.
Yeah, we may bring her on a later episode to talk about it. But she resented Seth for a long while because she just didn't understand why he got different kind of attention than her, why he was treated differently than her, why if he did things that she would get into really bad trouble for, we kind of let go when it came to Seth. She did not understand that for a long time.
Yeah, because it's the unfortunate thing of, you know, as a parent in general, you do kind of have to treat your kids differently because they respond to different, you know.
Yeah, they have different needs.
Exactly. And especially when you have one that's autistic and one that's not, you definitely have to play things quite a bit different. So it was way more obvious for her as opposed to if he was just a regular kid and, okay, we got to punish Seth in this manner instead of this manner. And Crystal responds better with this manner instead of that manner, you know. So it was easy for her to see the differences and go, wait a minute.
Right, exactly. So that was the beginning steps, I guess you could say, of what we were trying to deal with when it came to everything. And of course we had the really difficult things of, let's try to teach both of them to walk at the same time. Let's try to teach both of them to talk at the same time.
Potty train.
Yes, exactly. In fact, Crystal was way ahead of Seth on everything. I mean, Seth up until even just 2 years ago was not at all really potty trained. So, thankfully, we finally got him through that.
Yeah. That'll be a different episode.
That'll be a different episode. Yeah, exactly. So, but when it came to other things, you know, there was actually some advantages to it. And we wanted to get into some of the pros and cons with things, but there were some advantages that came with having a sibling in the after fact, I guess you could say, you know.
Yeah, having a younger sibling that's not autistic.
Right, exactly. So one of the things that we noticed was that essentially we had an easier time getting Seth to learn things again, I think, because of Crystal learning things at the same time. So both of them kind of played off of each other in the learning process.
Yeah, so it's like he was able to relearn to walk again and with success because she was learning it and he was able to mimic her because, you know, he pretty much lost all this, like I said, around the time that she had been conceived, so that by the time she was born, he was already lost it all. And as she started to grow and start to learn to walk, he had already been struggling with the ability to walk and was able to, oh yeah, that's right, and so was able to take off from there.
Yeah, exactly. Some of the cons to it all. Let's talk about that for a little bit. There really are some definite negative sides to the whole issue of whether or not to have a sibling with the decision. Now, of course, if you have one already and the choice was not yours, then, you know, that happens. But the biggest con to the issue, of course, is the risk in whether or not the new child is going to be autistic or not as well. There is some evidence that suggests that autism is caused by a genetic predisposition to it, but that's not always the case. I mean, far from it, in fact. And the evidence suggests that it's still very much in its infancy stages. So another issue that has to be faced is how your autistic child is on a general basis. Everybody kind of knows, I think, that each child is different, and that is especially the case when it comes to autistic children. There is a large gamut of differences between each autistic child. So if your autistic child is really aggressive a lot, then that's certainly a risk to the younger child coming into the picture. Not so much so if they have an older sibling, since they can do things to avoid that part of the child's nature. But if it's a younger one, they're going to have a harder time, not just dealing with the aggression, but in stopping something bad from happening, which we saw happening with Crystal and Seth. Seth, for a period of time, now thankfully he's kind of grown out of this and into different forms of expression at this point, but for a good amount of time, he was very aggressive, very...
He would bite and he would kick and he would hit Crystal a lot when she was younger. He did that quite often. He would watch a show and he would turn around and just bite her. He would watch a show and turn around and just kick her, just for no reason. Not because she was annoying him or because she was doing something that bothered him, but he would just, you know, at random kind of come up to her and scratch her and come up to her and kick her and
pull hair and all that kind of stuff. Now that's going to happen on a sibling to sibling basis anyways, but you know, with an autistic child,
he would do it full force,
right? And they don't it's really hard to get them to understand not to do it, you know. So
yeah, I mean, the only way to get him to learn not to pull her hair, I had to pull his hair just as hard. That was the only way I could get him to stop pulling on her hair all the time. Just take his hair and pull on it just as hard. And finally, you know, it got through. Every time you pull his hair, mommy's going to come and pull your hair, you know?
Right. And it's unfortunate that it had to come to that. But, you know, sometimes you have to get really down into that base level of things. And that was a really difficult time period for the family to go through. Crystal was getting quite damaged from it all and still I think held some resentment about it all.
Oh yeah, subconsciously if nothing else. Yeah, so I mean that was a major thing. I mean we worried a lot about Seth maybe accidentally hurting her in a way worse way than he ever did. You know, I mean, cuz he would scratch her. Thankfully we always kept his nails short, so it was never like a bleeding scratch or anything, but he would hit her and kick her and sometimes leave bruises. And then he would bite her. Thankfully never broke skin or anything, but we always worried, since she was like 2.5 years younger than him, that he would accidentally, you know, do worse, you know, like break a bone
or something.
Yeah, there was one day, for instance, he got in trouble. Well, do you want to tell this? Okay, well, there was this one instance where he got in trouble, and Ira went over and, you know, did the finger shaking, you know, Seth, don't do that. And Seth was, you know, he was subconsciously listening. He was not really paying any attention. This was before we found the focus formula that we give him now. And Seth just reached out, grabbed Ira's finger, and pulled on it. And he had pulled Ira's finger out of its socket. I had to help Ira put it back in. As soon as that happened, we immediately freaked out and we went, okay, if that happened to Crystal, he would have broke her finger.
Yeah.
At that point, we panicked and we immediately went to see something to get something done, because we were like, this cannot happen.
Right, exactly. So that's just one example of some of the behavior activity that goes on with a lot of autistic children out there that really has to be taken into consideration when you're bringing somebody younger into the picture. One of the issues as well with us is that Crystal has always been really tiny. So
she's a tiny girl.
She's just a little tiny thing, and she always has been. So, Seth is not very tiny.
He's as tall as I am, and he's only 13, almost 14, and he's already as tall as I am.
Yeah. So he's always been very big, very strong, very powerful. So we were very concerned about things for a while. We like I said, thankfully he's grown away from that habit. Now whenever he gets upset,
it's more verbal
meltdowns, he goes into crying mode most of the time.
Yes.
So instead of being aggressive, his way of acting out is essentially to weep or to cry, which we can handle that a lot better than...
Yeah, it's a lot better than physical violence.
Than dealing with physical violence, yeah. Exactly. I mean, we had, just as another example, a family that lived across the street from us had an older child who was autistic. And whenever he would get into a meltdown or anything like that, he would immediately run outside, grab a shovel and start trying to hit people with it. And
yeah,
all this kind of, it was just a horrific type of thing that was going on. And so, again, these are things that you have to consider. You have to look at what kind of behavior patterns does your autistic child have, and is that going to be something of really major concern when it comes to bringing in somebody much younger into the fold and realizing they might be very easily damaged if so. One thing is, that is related to this is that if your child is one that tends towards being very self-destructive behavior-wise or into self-harming kind of behavior, that's not just a traumatic experience for that particular child, but it also is for their siblings as well.
Oh, yeah.
It can be really psychologically scarring to a younger child to be raised in an environment where they're with somebody that is being very self-destructive.
Thankfully, Seth never got too bad in that aspect. The most he would do is just try and pull out his hair. But that was easy to... That was easier to deter as opposed to him pulling on Crystal's hair. But, I mean, when he was younger, he did tend to, you know, scratch at himself and pull at his hair. He didn't do it often. And, unfortunately, I did see when Crystal was younger, she did used to do the same things, pull at her own hair and scratch herself.
Right, she picked up those habits from him.
Yeah, she picked it up, and she tended to do it a lot more than he did. And I think that's because of the anger that she would feel because he would... You know, I mean, he, as we said just a few minutes ago, he would hit her and kick her and bite her a lot. So, I mean, that's already an emotionally jarring kind of a situation. And then to see that same sibling hurt themselves, you kind of pick it up and go, oh, I'm such a bad sibling, you know, and scratch at yourself. Even though she was only like 3, you know, when she would do this sort of thing, it doesn't mean that she doesn't feel that way. You know, that was just her way of expressing, I feel I'm bad, I'm going to scratch at myself. And she would do that. Anytime she got angry, she would scratch at herself. And I know it's because she picked it up from him.
Yes, exactly. And again, for an older child, they may be a lot more understanding of it all and be able to help out when they see the autistic one is doing harm to themselves or, you know, maybe step in and intervene to stop it.
Or come get us immediately to help stop it.
Right. It definitely is still a traumatic experience, of course, but it's not as, I guess it can be processed a lot easier than if it's a younger child that's seeing all of it.
Yeah, because, so, I mean, by default, a younger child will always look up to an older sibling no matter what the situation is, you know.
Right.
Even though the older sibling may have, you know, some sort of disability, that younger child's still going to look up to that older sibling in one way, shape, or form.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So sometimes some autistic children, the ones that are verbal, some of them will actually, instead of doing things to physically harm people, they will verbally abuse. You know, they'll do a lot of verbal trauma, I guess you can say. So instead of harming them physically, they harm them more psychologically, essentially.
Yeah.
So,
now, thankfully, Seth never really got into that, but that's also because most of his life after, once he lost everything, for the longest time, he couldn't speak anyways. I mean, well, we'll get into this in a bit, but, you know, Crystal was what brought him back up to being able to speak again. So by the time he was able to speak again, you know, he was trying to relearn all the words. So being able to verbally say anything mean or anything, well, he was not able to because he didn't know how. And at this point in time in his life, he can, you know, he can speak, you know, I mean, anyone can come up to him and talk, you know, he's at that point now, he can hold a conversation with a stranger and they can actually understand what he's saying. They'll know that something's up with him, but...
Yeah, because he's still got a very large speech impediment, but...
Yeah, but they can at least hold a conversation with him, but, you know, at this point in time, he thankfully doesn't do that sort of thing. He's more of the crying thing, like I had said. So if it ever is that, it'll be more of a, I can't believe you did this to me. You did this. And then he'll just start kind of crying. So it's kind of, he'll put the blame on you and then he'll cry. And right. It'll be a silly kind of blame. You know, you're the reason why, you know, he'll complain to his sister. You're the reason why I can't watch this show, even though it's because he did things and it was all his doing and his sister had not a thing to do with it. And
yeah. You know, one thing that comes with autism is the lack of understanding in social functions, basically. So any kind of social interactions whatsoever, they're so far removed from them that, you know, they just don't understand, basically. So, I mean, for instance, our daughter who of course, like we've been saying, is younger than Seth, she sometimes even still comes to us and says, you know, crying because Seth said or did something to hurt her feelings, or she'd go lock herself in her room basically because her feelings got hurt really, really badly by some of the things that he would say.
Mm-hmm.
And this still happens even today with her being 11 years old. So
another thing too is, you know, especially now with how Seth is now, in some ways it is kind of easy to forget and to surpass the idea that he is autistic, because in many ways he is up to age level. And in a lot of ways he's not. So like, yeah. For example, there was a week or so ago, the three of us, me, Seth, and Crystal, were playing a Wii game. And I think it was a Wii game. Yeah, it was a Wii game. And then in the Wii game, he liked to, when it was like at the checkpoint and it was loading the next screen, he would put his arms in the air and he'd go, I'm waving my hands in the air, or something like that. And for whatever reason, it kept annoying Crystal that he would do it, and she kept saying, please stop, please stop. And eventually she got up and left. She's like, I'm done playing. And I know to her it's because she didn't want him to do that, and it was annoying her. And if she were to do it, he would tell her to stop, and he would get very upset. Whereas when she's trying to get him to stop, he won't. So to her it's an injustice thing. But it's kind of hard to take a step back and realize that it's an autistic thing.
Right.
It's
the not repetitive behavior. Exactly. And all that kind of stuff goes right in with the autism. So
exactly. Because all he was doing was mimicking what was happening in the game and the checkpoint. You know, the characters, it was a SpongeBob game, and the characters, when they get to the little checkpoint, for whatever reason, they put their arms in their hands in the air and kind of wiggle it around. And so he'd do the same. He'd put his arms in the air. I'm waving my hands in the air, or whatever like that. So he was just mimicking what he was seeing in the game.
But he kept repeating it. He wouldn't stop.
Yeah, so. He kept repeating it every time it happened, and it just annoyed her. So to her, I know it was an injustice thing. You know, oh, well, it's not fair that he can do this sort of thing. And yet if I were to repeat things, he'd get mad at me. And yet take a step back and just realize it's not an autistic thing. It's not that he's trying to be mean. It's not that he's trying to be unfair.
Or annoying.
Yeah, it's not that he's trying to.
It just is.
Yeah, it's just a thing of he's just repeating what he sees on a game. It's something that makes him temporarily happy. Yes, it can be annoying. Crystal, I know you're probably going to hear this episode. Yes, I know it was annoying to hear, but you got to get past it. Because, I mean, it's his temporary moment of happiness. He doesn't mean harm. He doesn't mean ill will with it.
Right. It's that idea that we talked about in the first episode, where with an autistic child, it seems like when they feel an emotion, they feel the emotion, whether it's anger or happiness or love or whatever it might be. In that moment, it is felt as strongly as it can possibly be. Now, one other aspect of things that has to be really considered is that an autistic child, when you have an autistic child, they take a lot of time. I mean, they take a lot of your time up, no matter what level of functionality they're at. There still has to be a lot of time that's dedicated to them. Sometimes 24/7, you know, depending on what is going on with them. Sometimes you have to be there 24/7. Somebody has to be awake, watching over them, making sure everything's okay, on and on and on. So when you bring a younger child into the picture, when you have this type of thing going on, you have to take into consideration, do I really have the time to dedicate to giving enough attention to this younger sibling?
The time, the ability, the resources.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it, some parents have the option to have helpers, you know, hire helpers to come in and help out, you know, aides or whatever. But not every parent has that option out there. Yeah. So that's just a few of the things that we can think of that would be, I guess you could say, cons to the idea of having a sibling once you've had an autistic child. There are, of course, a lot of others, but we at least wanted to bring a few that we could think of
to the forefront,
to the table for you guys to hear. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the pros to it all.
There are benefits, don't worry.
There are definitely benefits. So stick around with us. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Open Eyes is dedicated to finding the truth in all matters. We are not afraid to be politically incorrect or to ask questions. Whether it is the paranormal, government cover-ups, the dark agenda that the puppet masters have in store for us, or aliens and UFOs, nothing remains hidden. Listen to Open Eyes, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on LateNightInTheMidlands.com or OpenEyesNetwork.com. Open hearts, open minds, open eyes.
Have you been looking for answers? Have you been seeking the truth but can't seem to find it? Late Night in the Midlands has the answers for you. Whether you are interested in the paranormal, aliens and UFOs, alternative health information, or just a little hope and inspiration, we have a show for you. Late Night in the Midlands, The Secret Teachings, Open Eyes, Red Pill Reality Show, Brothers at Arms, and many more shows. All here on the L&M Network for you to listen to at any time that you want. Everything is free to listen to. And though it is not required, we are listener supported, and all donations are deeply appreciated. You will not find shows like these in the mainstream media. Go to LateNightInTheMidlands.com to listen. The L&M Network, where the truth has no fear.
Transmission.
So I'll admit it, I'm a geek. I love anything science fiction or fantasy. I love to collect things that are related to the things that I like. There's a place that I go to find unique things. It's an Etsy shop that's called The Geeky Stitcher. They have some amazing and one-of-a-kind handcrafted collectibles on a lot of my favorite science fiction and fantasy-related shows and movies. You know, geek stuff. They have things like gloves that look just like the TARDIS from Doctor Who. They have crocheted figures from Star Trek, Disney movies, even Navi from The Legend of Zelda. They're all made with love, and they have a unique style, and best of all, they're cheaply priced. They'll even do custom orders. All you have to do is let them know what you would like to see made, and they'll get right on it. Check them out today at thegeekystitcher.etsy.com, or you can also go to their Facebook fan page, which is found at The Geeky Stitcher. Go there today. I'm sure you guys will find something that you would really, really love.
This is the place for all my relations. Don't bring celebration to meditation. Giving thanks for all of creation. We are so provided for. 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 All of the blessings I receive, how could they have been bestowed upon me? So I'll put it all back in the ground, back in the soil where I am found. It all started Waku Duncan, scan, scan. Something holy moves here on the land. It is my brother's and my sister's hands. It is the way we make our plans. We don't make them. Well, this is it. What is this? This is Eden. Eden is where I live and where I give my whole being to the Great Spirit. We are waiting and we're on our way. Oh, Mataku Awesome. This is the place for all my relations to bring celebration to meditation, giving thanks for all of creation. We are so provided for. We are so provided for. We are so provided for. We are so provided for.
Well, hello there and welcome back to Adventures in Autism. My name is Ira.
And I am Jolene.
And hopefully you guys liked that little song there. I think that it was a very appropriate song for this type of topic.
It definitely works well.
Yes, most definitely. So before we took the break there, we were talking about some of the cons to the idea of having a younger sibling when you have an autistic child in the family already. But we wanted to talk to you guys about the pros, and we wanted to make sure to talk about these last because I do think that these are the most important things to keep into consideration.
Get the bad out of the way and have the good come in last.
Exactly. So, of course, there's the consideration that the other child is going to be like a helper for the autistic child. It can be a good way to help bring out the autistic child from their shell, even slightly. And that right there is a really big step, especially if there's an older sibling that's involved.
Yeah, in our case, there is no older sibling. It's the younger sibling. But Crystal does do a lot to help out, you know, especially when they were younger. She did do a lot more with the helping. Now they're older, and so that's kind of a, you're the baby girl, you can't help me with this, you know, I can't have you help me with this sort of thing, you know. But she does, she is a helper, you know, even now, he may not like to admit that sort of thing, but.
Well, you know, one example is they have the ability to assist when the child is having a distressed moment or they're feeling mm-hmm. lonely, which happens often with an autistic person. Crystal actually can break through to Seth, especially nowadays, lately.
Yeah.
He doesn't really want to have much to do with mommy or me, but when he's having sort of his meltdown moments. But Crystal, he will let come in and help to console him and to help him get through those meltdown moments. So I think it's because he doesn't feel as, I don't know, maybe threatened, I guess would be the best
that,
word
that
to
could
use.
Be it, yeah.
That he doesn't feel quite so like as if it's the parents who are in here taking care of the situation. But no, he has a little bit more control over the situation, I think, because it's the younger child. Like you said, no, this is baby sissy. So
yeah, this is baby sissy. Yeah. I mean, you know, example is just recently he was having the meltdowns. He had them like a few days in a row. And Crystal went in there, and twice it was her that consoled him, because by the time you got back there, you know, had a chance to get back there, he was like, no, Daddy, I want Crystal. Crystal's helping me.
Right, exactly. So in those type of moments, when they're having those meltdown moments, the sibling can actually be the one to help them get through it. So that's one thing.
It could also be, continuing with that, it could also be a situation of he may feel like she can relate better than mommy and daddy can, because this is more of a kid thing.
More on his level.
Exactly. And Sissy is close enough to his age that he may feel that she can help him more, or I just need someone my age, you know. I mean, I know, too, a lot of his depression is because he has no friends. So to have Sissy willingly come back there and help him helps to helps the self-esteem and help him realize, okay, Sissy really is here for me.
Exactly. If the autistic child and the new child are at about the same developmental level, they really can assist each other. And they can actually potentially help the autistic child to break through barriers that are there in their developmental cycle. So this can help them to learn to speak or speak more clearly. If they have another child there who's learning basically at the same pace and learning the same things. We experienced that, as Jolene said a little while ago, with Crystal and Seth, that at the same time that we were teaching Crystal, Seth was really picking up on the things that we were doing with Crystal, and her talking to him and him talking to her, they kind of helped each other to break through a couple of barriers that were there speech wise.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a lot of the improvement that we saw with him in his speech came because of Crystal learning the things basically at the same time.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, the first few years when he lost it all, no kidding, he could not speak. For the first while, he had sound effects. If you didn't catch it in our first episode, for a long while, Oompa meant moon pie. Because he couldn't even say moon or pie. So, I mean, for a long while, he just had sound effects. You know, just Oompa, you know. That's how he talked. And he slowly regained it a little bit and was able to say small things. So when Crystal was very young, before she started talking, Seth's words were pretty gama for grandma, daddy for daddy, my for mommy, Cree for Crystal. And that was kind of, you know, one syllable words is pretty much what he could say. So, I mean, you know, another example is like more was one of his best words. More meant a whole plethora of things. It could mean literally more, whether it be more food, more drink. It could also mean milk. It could also mean drink. It could also mean food, you know, just plain want food. You know, he comes up to you randomly, more. Okay, well, what do you want? More.
When well, he hadn't had it. Anything, so.
Yeah, so it was, you know, temper tantrums galore because he's trying to say more and we don't know which more. Is it milk? Is it chips? Is it, you know, is it a banana? What do you want? We don't know.
Yeah, exactly. So it really helped to break him through that barrier because for a long time he was that way.
Yeah, and by the time Crystal was able to start speaking, he really picked up. He was able to mimic off of her because, you know, when a baby first starts to speak, it's jumbled to begin with anyways, it's garbled to begin with anyways, and that's already the level he was on. So he was able to mimic off of her when he saw that she was getting understood, so he was able to mimic what she was saying and slowly learned. And I mean, there was even a time period when Crystal was able to speak and she surpassed Seth and the ability to speak, and we actually had to go to Crystal to understand what Seth was saying. And that's kind of a hard situation to be in, to ask the younger child, what is your older sibling saying? And she kind of looks at you weirdly like, you know what, you can't tell what he's saying, you know? But she was raised up with him, so she was able to understand his quote-unquote language better.
Right, which actually brings me into the next topic that I wanted to talk about, which is that with a younger sibling, they know and they've been raised up with the autistic child, and this makes it a lot easier for them to have a really deep bonding with that autistic child. They've made a friend for life, literally. And they understand the struggles of that autistic child firsthand. So for us, Crystal understands Seth a lot more as she's gotten older. Now, when she was younger, yes, there were some issues with her not knowing exactly how to deal with the things that he was doing, and she was really confused on others. But she cares for Seth more than anybody else aside from us. And she's determined to always be there with her brother, no matter what he says or what he does. Even if he does hurt her feelings and you know, all of that kind of stuff that goes with it, she still has this deep bond with him that is just amazing.
Yeah, I mean, even to the point that she says she wants to be a special ed teacher when she gets older. Now, granted, that may change, but she's inspired enough to say now that that's what she wants to deal with, is those with special needs.
Right, and, you know, if something were to occur to us, as the parents of Seth, we know, because Crystal has stated this many, many times, that Crystal is always going to be there for her brother and take care of him even after we're gone. She stated that over and over. Don't worry, I'll take care of Seth. And this is, you know, a young child who is saying this. Now, this might be an aspect of her maturity in your child. You know, your mileage may vary with your own child, but of course. But, you know, that's something to me that we've seen. She's not the only one that I've seen like this. I've seen a lot of other siblings that are younger that think in this exact same kind of terms, because they were raised with this child and they see how much help they need firsthand, and it really teaches them empathy in a big way.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I mean, that's something special that doesn't have a price. You know, you cannot put a price onto that, so... And that's what really everything kind of comes down to. The fact that the siblings, this younger sibling especially, they're going to love this child no matter what. And that's really what it all boils down to.
Yeah, despite the hitting and kicking and possible trauma and verbal abuse that they may or may not receive, they will... They'll look past it, you know. Once they get to that level of understanding, they'll understand. They'll understand.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, the issue of whether or not to have another child when you have a child with autism really comes down to love. There's a lot of reasons not to do it, but love can and does trump all things. It really does. If you love the idea of having another child, no matter what the risks are or anything that goes with it, then do it. It's about how much love you have to share with all of your children, not just with those who are normal, but with all of your children. And that, I think, at least to me, is the most important thing to put into consideration.
Oh, yeah, I definitely agree with that.
So, is there anything else that you want to say as far as kind of final thoughts? We're starting to run low on time, so.
Not really. I mean, you know, it kind of depends on everyone's situation, you know. If you have an older sibling that's not autistic, it helps greatly with the situation. And especially, too, if you already have an older sibling that does not have autism, and then you have a younger one that does, the idea of having yet another child is an even more viable option, because that younger child will still have an older, non-autistic sibling to refer to and to interact with. So they won't be, you know, it would be an easier yes to say, let's have another one, as opposed to if you just have the one autistic child, if that makes sense. Because, you know, the younger child will have two older siblings, and one will be the one they can refer to of, okay, why does the autistic brother or sister, you know, act this way? Oh, okay, so how do we, you know, they can both team up and help out.
Yeah, exactly. I like how you put that team up against the autistic child. Hopefully not in a bad way.
Not in a bad way, no. But, you know, help to, you know, learn from each other the tricks and trades of how to help out.
Yeah, and to be a support system to each other as well. That's a big one, not just with helping the child, but to help each other get through some of the trials that come with having this other aspect of things in the family.
Yes. And then if you have just an autistic child and you're thinking of having another one, then you do have a little bit more to consider, because that child will have only the older autistic child to look up to. And then you also, you know, in both circumstances, you still have to wonder, is the next child going to also have autism, or is this one going to miss it?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Which we will get into that topic in another episode. That one is a big one in and of itself, is the idea of us as parents having a lot of emotional trauma in regards to seeing the child damaged, seeing the child having these issues, and you know, all of the guilt that's associated with it, the sadness and all of that kind of thing that gets sort of tossed together in this big mess of things. That's a big topic, and we might touch on that in the very near future. But for now, guys, we are basically out of time. Now, again, if you guys want to talk to us about your families, your dynamics that are going on, and maybe even the things that you went through when you were choosing to have another child, if you had one already, or anything along those lines, please let us know. You can contact us at feedback@openeyesnetwork.com, and we would be glad to hear from you. Also, if you are wanting to have kind of a platform to get your story out, we would also love to hear from you. Again, send an email to feedback@openeyesnetwork.com. If you guys want to go to the show notes for this show, you can find those at openeyesnetwork.com/AA002. And we will have the podcast for this show available there, and you can listen to it at your leisure. And if you guys, again, want to send us any kind of feedback, send it to feedback@openeyesnetwork.com. If you want to go to our Facebook and Twitter pages, those are available at Open Eyes Network or Ira Robinson on both of those platforms. Do you have anything else that you'd like to get out?
Yeah, I do have one more quick thing. Also, if you don't have an email, you can also go to openeyesnetwork.com. There is a contact page. You can also contact us through there if you do not have an email. So you can also, you know, submit the form, and we'll get that as well.
Exactly, yes. I always forget to mention that.
That's why I thought about it.
So our next episode is going to be on the topic of homeschooling and schooling in general. It's going to be a really good one. I think that you guys are going to get a lot out of it. We're going to give you a lot of information regarding schooling when it comes to having an autistic child.
And then be sure to read the show notes after it, because we will have even more information.
Exactly. Lots of things that we couldn't get out in the episode. So until next time, guys, keep safe out there and have fun. And thank you so much, as always, for listening.
Thank you again.